Today's episode is brought to you by the Western Extension Risk Management Education Center, RASIP, USDA NIFA, and the University of Hawaii, College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources, and the Livestock Extension Group.
Aloha, welcome to Livestock Fala'au, a podcast aimed to provide educational support, information, guidance, and outreach to our livestock stakeholders in Hawaii. We are your hosts, Mele Oshiro and
Shannon Sand.
And today we're going to be talking with Alexia and Heather from Symbrosia. Thank you, ladies, for making the time to visit with us in person. I mean, we have not had very many opportunities to record a podcast in person, so
it's so
we're
exciting.
Very excited to be here.
Thanks for making the drive over from Hilo.
I know Shannon had the farthest drive.
It's all right. You did half the driving, so it's really only 50% effort on my part. So it's fine.
So I guess let's just start. If you guys want to just either want to start, just give us a little background of your position here.
And how you came to be.
Yeah. And a little bit about your company.
I'll start. I'm Heather. I'm the office and culture coordinator here. I was in the coffee industry for the past 10 years. So just running the operations and everything. And then once I heard about Symbrosia and the opening that they had here, I was just so excited that there is a clean tech startup in our tiny town here. It was super exciting. So I just took a shot at it and totally switched career paths. So I'm here now and just working with the team and doing awesome things like talking with you guys. So
Yeah, she's been doing a great job since starting. But my name is Alexia. I've been working on feeding seaweed to cows for the past almost 4 years. My background's in environmental chemistry. So I've spent a lot of time in food systems and built environment and how those affect human health. So yeah, a little bit of a transition into like more of a commercial project, but research background previously. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I got to see Heather at the career fair and ran into her there, but I think that's very, you know, I've heard of your program and Symbrosia and the products you guys are putting out there for livestock and cattle. So do you want to kind of, I guess, take us to, a little bit more about the product and like what you've been doing and how it's, you know, how it all works.
Yeah, I guess when we started about 3 years ago, there was just some initial research out of Australia where they were profiling a bunch of different limu seaweeds for their potential to reduce methane. And they found this one species of seaweed called Asparagopsis taxiformis, in Hawaiian it's limu kohu, native to the much of the Pacific, that reduced the enteric methane by over 80% with just a small inclusion rate. In the feed. And so this was just like kind of scratching the surface. Again, I was in food systems and I was like, this is a pretty hot topic, item. No one was working on commercializing it. So I applied for a small grant and kind of haven't looked back. Since then, it's been a really fun journey. But we've built out, down at Nelhut, OTEC, by the airport, a limu crop science kind of program, and then have been working on scaling that up and getting it into the hands of local producers and then also global companies.
I think that was my, we'll probably get into that later on, but I was like, that is definitely a question I wonder. I was like, because I was like, long term for this, I was like, it seems like it could potentially be really big, because I know that's a concern of a lot of different producers and different groups.
Being here, I mean, in Tapton, especially after COVID and seeing all the changes in the livestock industry here, that our product has a number of different kind of value add propositions. And so getting to know more about the local industry, how that the product can plug in here, it's been really rewarding. And Heather's taking a lot of that work and community building forward too, to make sure that, you know, we're integrating and providing the product for Hawaii as well.
So when you talk about the product, is it how is the product incorporated into feed? Is it a actual feed itself, or is it a supplement that we are going to mix into a mineral mix? How does all that going to work as far as like if a producer came to you?
You got it. So for grazing systems, it's like a pelleted seaweed meal. And then we do mix it in with mineral on pasture. It's kind of like a 1-to-2 ratio of 2 parts mineral, 1 part seaweed. And then because the mineral is kind of self-dosing, then they eat the amount of seaweed that they need to be eating too at the same time. So that's worked so far in the research studies that we've done. And the methane reduction effect is kind of prolonged for like 70 hours. So as long as they're eating it, like.
So 2 to 3 days basically afterwards. Wow. So every couple, as long as they get a little in every couple of days, I would guess. Wow.
Okay. Interesting. Cool. You mean like with all the research you guys have done, like probably feeding trials and all that kinds of stuff. So have you had trials with just cattle or are you looking at other species as well?
Right. That's a good question.
Yeah. We've done cattle trials, sheep trials too, which are actually like the most fun for me. I don't know why I like working with sheep. And then we're kicking off some larger dairy cow trials in the beginning of next year.
Is that like here or on the mainland? I'm just making an assumption. If it's larger, it's probably not here.
Yeah, it's a more of a safety trial, so we're doing it on the mainland in Minnesota.
That's exciting.
Yeah, but obviously there's some movement happening on Hawaii Island with getting dairies back online. So
that would be so great.
We've been working with some of those organizations too to make sure that like if they launch a new product that it could be sustainable or something.
Right. Yeah. I hear climate smart, climate change friendly. I know they're trying to figure out verbiage for some of that right now, but I'm
Yeah, I think because the USDA used the climate smart verbiage, that's what we've all been
saying. Are any of the trials you guys running on just like confined feeding operations? Or are you looking at the differences in grazing systems as well?
Yeah, we've been focused mostly on grazing. Maybe like naively, that's where we wanted to focus because that's where animals spend most of their life.
Yeah.
And that's where most of the methane is produced then as well. And so we wanted to find an option that producers could use instead of just feedlots or and then in the pasture too, because like mineral is such a priority, the seaweed has like 90 micro macronutrients that are super bioavailable, so we're finding that
That would be my other question. I was like, because seaweed is generally like, it is considered like a health thing. Like I'm not healthy, so I'm healthy, but you know what I mean. I was like I guess that would be my other question is, are there other like, well, Mele is really good with nutrition and stuff, but like other like nutrients like selenium or copper kind of or things. Sorry, Mele.
We do, you know, our industry here with beef cattle, even sheep and goats, we suffer with, not suffer, but I should say we have issues with copper deficiency across most of those ruminant species. Mm-hmm. So is that something that you think the seaweed has shown to help improve in with those animals?
It has like copper, calcium, phosphorus, selenium, and I'm not sure like exactly how the chemistry works, but I've been told that because it's in a plant substrate, it's way more bioavailable than putting out minerals. So maybe they can uptake it or absorb more of it.
So they actually need less than.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those dynamics are always so complicated, I think. And we have so many like antagonists that are out there in our feed forages already, right? That is another problem, not just how much can we feed them, are they going to eat it, then what's out there that's going to steal it away, right? Or make it unavailable for them. So very good, that's very good. It's very interesting. So what's the process then, like from I guess growing the seaweed and from that time, like how long does it take to actually make the product?
From seed to like processed product, it's about a 3-month window. Kind of like any other crop, we have our seed bank, and seasonally we grow different strains. So we have like, at least in Hawaii, like a summer and a winter strain. So then there's a lot of light, like needs to be more tolerant to heat and light stress versus in the winter. And then it starts in more of an indoor lab setting and then gets moved outside as the batch gets larger. So if anyone's familiar with Cyanotech, down at Nell Hall, it's a pretty similar process to growing like microalgae or spirulina.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense though. Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So then you put that into a pellet. Is that done here on island? You guys are able to do
that
here?
We have a pelletizer here.
Yeah. So actually the phenotype of it grows like in a pellet form. So
nice.
That's kind of what we're going off of now. When we dry it and process it, it stays in like a little bowl.
Oh, nice.
But we are working with, the research feed mill and Hilo to try to see if we could create more of a formulated pellet.
Awesome. So the options would be to keep it as a pellet or incorporate it into a sort of mineral supplement that's already out there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I guess when you're talking to producers, right, so we all know mineral supplementation and the benefits of this, but you want to talk a little bit more about those interactions with the producers and how really this is going to benefit them? I mean, I guess, on the cost breakdown and whatnot, that's really where they're going to go, right? Is the money going to be there? Is it cost effective for them in their production?
Yeah. Usually how I find the conversations going is that people are like, their interest is piqued a little bit, so I can like get in the door and, or go to the farm and have this initial conversation. Because there's a lot of discussion about like new revenue streams from creating carbon credits or changing practices. But what really kind of seals the deal or moves us forward to like pilot stage is that we talked about the mineral efficiencies. When methane isn't being released from the animals, that carbon is going back into their metabolism. So we're seeing feed efficiency improvements.
Oh, so there's like gains in feed efficiency. Yeah. So I would think that that would potentially be something that would be for, because I was like, when I think of grazing, I generally think of cow-calf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I would think that would be something that would be like pique a lot of people's interests that do either grass-fed finishing or even grain-fed. So yeah. I would think that would be something that like, because that's, that feed efficiency is something that like people really,
I mean, that's look, the, I was that's gonna the say, name of the game. I mean, more efficient you are, your cattle are, you know, I mean, that's the money that's in your awesome. Pocket. So.
Yeah. So I'm not going in like trying to sell carbon credits. I'm going in trying to sell like a nutritional product that's going to improve your unit economics and feed efficiency on the farm.
Yeah.
Because methane is like a 20% energy loss. So we're seeing 15% plus improvements in gain.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. So you're doing trials currently here on the island right now?
Is that kind of... we did a trial at UH Hilo actually recently. So we improved our product a bit and did another palatability trial, which was cool. Yeah. And then we're kicking off more trials in January with local ranchers.
What'd you find with palatability? I'm curious because cattle can be kind of finicky. Like we've done some grazing trials.
Yeah,
and it's amazing how they find something right in there. Because I remember doing a grazing trial when we were looking at fireweed stuff, and there's grass. I mean, everywhere, right? But and they'll take taking bites, and we're watching to see if they were actually going to eat the fireweed. They find that little thing in there and just spit it out, work your way around it. So, have you what have you guys found with palatability for them?
Yeah, we changed our like grow out process a good bit since the last time we did palatability. And so before we had to like add molasses or like disguise it.
Yeah.
But this time they just chowed down. Like they weren't even trying to avoid it in the mineral. Awesome. Like they were just going at it. We were surprised.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, because we've done goats and sheep and they're less picky and we're like, okay, is this real? Yeah. But then once we did the UH, it was like pretty big breakthrough for us if you don't have to supplement anything.
Yeah, that's good. The less things that you gotta add in, right, to get them to. And sometimes I feel like when you add those other molasses and things in there, those minerals just disappear because they're going after the sweet stuff that's in there, right? So that it helps them, but still, you know, it doesn't help you in the pocket if you're eating out more than they need. So
kind of talk about too like the perception around what it's been. So that's been very interesting, and actually they've shown a lot of interest and a lot of support in that. And I think the biggest thing for us is making it as easy as possible for them.
Yes.
And showing that, you know, you're not going to have to do anything majorly different in your operation. And also, you know, so many people have been viewing the cows as the culprit. Like we've heard that a lot, like the cows are the bad guys. Yeah. And we're trying to change that perception of, you know, it's not the cows. Yeah. And we're trying to do our part in just helping the ranchers in any way we can with being supportive in that. So it's been really awesome to start to form those relationships with them, especially here on island.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. That's great to hear. And I think important because we need to be sort of
proactive.
Yeah. And kind of be the advocates for them to say, you know, and it's hard because we've seen in these conversations, we were kind of all on the same page. We know, we understand what's going on. It's a matter of how can we share that with everybody else, you know, and these are things that, I think we can show in the industry that we're trying to do to be proactive and address these kinds of things that are going to come up, you know? So, So I guess that's the other thing. My question is, you know, majority of producers here in Ireland are cow calf. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we don't have too many stockers, but we do have a lot of people that do grass finish on here. Mm-hmm. So how what kind of impact do you think the product would have on a grass finishing system? And is there any work you're going to look at in the carcass quality or meat quality of those animals to come out?
Yeah, I think what we're hearing as like the major excitement is decreasing the time on pasture.
Oh, like, wow. Yeah.
Potentially, right?
That's
so, in like a feedlot for feed efficiency, you could like feed less or they would, you know, gain weight faster, but we could decrease the time on pasture.
That'd be great.
So that's the big win. And then, totally looking at, anyone that processes their meat here, looking at carcass quality and meat quality.
That'd be awesome.
Following. Yeah. There has been some academic research, and there hasn't been anything like statistically significant between the quality. So.
Great.
But that's good. Taste panels are always fun.
Yeah, exactly. We do some work with the meat quality and just looking at carcass quality stuff with our research herd at Mailani. And we keep saying that we need to do a tasting room because we have a tasting center at the university that we can do sensory panels and whatnot for. So I'm like, we're game. Let's do this. Yeah, that would be interesting to my side. I'm always curious of how those types of different feed supplements kind of change, you know, the complex of the meat and whatnot and those additives in there. So, yeah, very interesting. And, you know, I think that's the key factor with grass finish, too, is that time on pasture and the age that these animals can
longer.
Go. Yeah, they can go to slaughter and be ready.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And quicker. Like our long-term vision would be to, you know, help support more local farmers to process their beef here. If it's more economically viable, shorter time on pasture, then maybe we could have more processing.
Definitely. And I think that's some of the turn back from it is because you have to hold them for longer. So that's amount of time. And, you know, you're holding on to that asset for you instead of having to be able to
cost you money every day. You have to keep it longer.
Yeah, exactly. So, definitely. That's very interesting. I'm excited to kind of see where it goes. And, we're going to get excited because we get to go and see the actual tour and operation. Well, is anything else you guys are shouting? You have something else?
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like this has the potential to be pretty, pretty large. I was like, so do you have plans to like scale up in the future? Because it sounds like you have additional feed trials and a lot of people are interested in this. So is this going to be like more publicly available? Because I was like, obviously this is released to everybody. And I know you all have been like doing a lot of like research for the last few years related to this, like you said. So like this to me seems like something, given the current momentum, like in society in general, that could be really, really like advantageous to a lot of people. So
Luckily down here at OTEC, I mean, the zone is like agriculturally zoned, but it's for aquaculture. So there is other space and leased lands to scale production. So that's our current plan. I wish we could go faster, but like it's like bring a new species to market has taken a lot of work, but totally working on kind of shifting from R&D now to commercial, getting a packaged product in the market.
So it's not available yet in the market. These are only available to those producers that you're doing trials and sort of whatnot.
If someone was interested, if you're looking for like people, is there like a way for them to contact you? Or
On our website we have a form that producers can fill out if they're interested in a trial. There's like some criteria that we're looking for now, just because there's still some data collection, so like having a scale on your farm or being able to collect data. But the other thing that we're really working on is I think like the whole carbon credit and climate smart commodities is still very vague for a lot of people.
I feel like it's really up in the air a little bit sometimes.
And Heather and I both come from, like, I grew up in small business, your operations background. Like, we're not trying to throw around, like, some pie-in-the-sky dreams. Like, we've been really working on getting clear, like, processes in place. Like, if you wanted a carbon credit, this is exactly what you do. This is, you know, what you should be looking out for if you're working with anyone that might be offering you these opportunities. So,
I just think this sounds like, I mean, like a real exciting product.
So, it's nice really to see a product that is can be produced locally here, you know, and if it's going to benefit
the local input is
local
kind of
producers. Especially in the grass finish side, you know, I mean,
they can finish 10, 20, 30 days in advance of where they usually are. I mean, that's that's money in the pocket.
That's
how I look at it.
And it'd be encouraging for other people to have more grass finish, you know, here and maybe encourage our slaughter processes
additional
to
capacity.
Be able to have the capacity to support that. So very good. Very interesting. And I don't know. You guys didn't have anything else you want to add for me?
No.
Thank you, Heather and Alexia, for joining us today. We hope our listeners found this informative and that it'll be useful to them. Also, if you have not done so already, please fill out our feedback fest to let us know how we're doing. And if there's any other people that are doing really kind of like, this is really innovative. I was like, I'm so excited. I was like, to see where this goes in the future. Things like this, please let us know so that you can have your voice heard. And so that we know what you would like to hear more of.
Make sure to follow us on our social media pages, the Livestock Valao and Livestock Extension Group. If you haven't already, be sure to visit the UHCTAR Extension website and our YouTube channel, which will be listed in our show notes.
Yes. And for additional information about this topic, see the show notes, send us an email, all of that jazz. And thank you for listening to the Livestock Vol Al. But before we go, show some love to your favorite podcast. That's us, by the way. And leave us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. And then stay tuned for next month's episode.
Yeah. Thanks again to our sponsors, the Western Extension Risk Management Education Center, RASAP, USDA NIFA, the Livestock Extension Group, and CTAR. Mahalo for listening. Ahui ho.